This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of the sermon will follow the program. We're happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every week on this station.
Don't give up. Those were the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to his church. And we're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, there are times that our hearts are heavy and we lack for strength. When we consider all the difficulties that confront us in the church, we sometimes are moved by Satan to give up. Grant, O Lord, that we may take your words of counsel today and use them effectively in our ministries wherever they may be. Don't give up. We have a Father who walks with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, there are many parts of the Bible that might not make sense to you if you are an unbeliever. Unless one walks in a relationship with God on a daily basis, the Bible doesn't always make sense. And you ponder the question, well, what is it trying to say? And why can it not be said in more simplistic language? Many parts of the Bible, then, do not make sense, and we have one of those parts that would be true, not making sense to most people today. Let me read it for you. It's recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with the first verse. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who never feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because of this widow who's always bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth?" Now, the first thing that we have to ask when we begin to study this text and to have it make sense to us is to ask the question, to whom is Jesus telling the parable? And Luke says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." In other words, this is a believer's prayer, or a believer's parable, we might say. He's trying to teach them what it is to pray. And if everything does not go the way they want it to go in prayer, then be sure to continue to pray and pray some more. The one thing that caught the eye of Jesus in this parable was the persistency of that widow. Whatever it was that was bothering her, she wanted justice. She perhaps had been cheated out of some money, and a judge had ruled unkindly towards her, and she was not going to let that man off the hook until he had changed his mind and had given her the challenge, the justice that she felt she was due to get. And finally she decided, well, her persistency is so great that she's wearing me out. When my secretary would say, "That old lady is here again," I could really tear my hair out. And then perhaps the secretary just said to the judge, "Why don't you grant her what she wants? Get it off her back." And that's how she got justice. Now that's a parable. And as I say to you at the very beginning of the sermon, unless you walk with God on a daily basis, this just doesn't make sense at all. Now, the judge was dishonest. He was concerned only about himself. He had no fear of God nor man. Is that our Heavenly Father? And the reason that he did give her justice in the end was simply to quiet her and to make life easier for him. Does that liken himself to a God, a Heavenly Father, who really cares? Rather than saying, "God, if there is a God, I'm angry at you." That perhaps is the way that the non-Christian would handle all of this. But the Christian doesn't. He asks himself the question, what is God up to? You see, in this school of prayer that the disciples had been in, they had watched Jesus at prayer. Prayer was going to be a vital part in their life after he had left them. and it ascended into heaven. Now, they wouldn't have in that hand like they had been for 3 years, but they were still able to go and talk with him. And so it becomes not only a prayer for the disciples, but it becomes a prayer for the believers in the church. No, he is not like the dishonest judge. He is a loving Heavenly Father who is saying to us, just come. You remember how I came, he might say, back in that night when we were in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not everything was going right. And I took you into that garden, and I took three of you into the inner part of the garden and told the rest of you to stay there and pray. Because we had some very, very difficult times before us. And there Peter, James, and John saw me on bended knee, crying out, my God, if it is possible, remove this cup from me, but not my will, yours be done. And that's a prayer of all prayers. We can really be persistent in praying to God. God, I want this. I want it real badly. And I believe it's for your benefit too that you grant it to me. But at the end, you learn from your Savior in this school of prayer, O God in heaven, your will be done. But then if you do not grant it to me, then I pray that you will help me someday to understand what it was all about, so that in retrospect, I can say to others, my Lord Jesus offered and told me to come. And when he didn't give me what I wanted at that time, he said, I'll be with you. Help me understand in these difficult times after the disappointment of not having my prayer answered, that I understand better what it means. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Help me to understand those words of St. Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. They were your words to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I think I understand this, God. But maybe after I have had to rely on it, then, O God, I will have a better understanding, because you will be with me. Now we know that as we walk through life, there are many of these heartaches. And some of the most difficult hours are times when a loved one is taken away from us. And it is always hard to have to say goodbye to a loved one, even when the person is very, very old. We're going to miss, or you're going to miss me, or I'm going to miss you when you die. Things are going to be different. The table is going to be upset. It isn't the way that we've had it for all these years. So all death, we can say, is not to be minimized. But there are some of them that sometimes when you hear the details of it all, you simply wonder, why? Why, God, why? I think, for example, of many of those situations in my own ministry. It's more than once, so I'm not just referring to a specific case. But here would be a young mother to whom God had given 2 or 3 beautiful children. They were right in the prime of life, these little kids, when they needed their mother. But one day the doctor had to tell her that she was terminally ill, and her days would be limited on this earth. He had done all that could be done, medically speaking. And then she thought, no, there's more to be done than what the doctor can do. And she was right. I will begin to pray. And she prayed herself, and her husband prayed, and her parents prayed, and her friends prayed, and there was a word that went out over the territory that she would be the recipient of their prayers. She was persistent. And yet it looked like the prayers were not going to be answered the way that she wanted them to be. And then she prayed, "Your will be done, God. I can't understand it, but help me to understand what you have said in this parable that is our text today. That I will see the justice of that, and I will see the justice of it soon. That there is something that God will use evil for good. And while he is not the author of this thing, while it is the fruit of a fallen and a broken world, he has not chosen to turn it around. And the truth is that I'm going to die. Then I have to pray as one of his own children, not my will, but yours be done." The unbelieving neighbor who hears that prayer says it's ridiculous. I am not this lady's husband. I am her neighbor, but I'm angry. I'm angry at God. I have watched them to be so faithful to their church. And every Sunday, they got those little children ready and brought them to Sunday school. And they had such a good time together as a family, and now it's smashed. Where are you, God? I'm angry at you. That's a very common thing. God can take our anger. He can forgive that too. He certainly can understand you. And without a doubt says, you know, when those tough days are over, just remember what I have said. I will show you justice, and real soon, but you have got to come to me. We have to live in relationship with one another to figure out all of these difficulties that are going on in this world. I just don't know everything about God because I pick up my Bible and read it once in a while, and sometimes read passages out of context. You have to give him time, but he'll let you know what it's all about. Now, if you are that neighbor, and let's say that you are an unbeliever, where would you turn if it were your daughter? To whom would you go for strength? You have been everywhere under the sun for medical help, to the greatest medical centers on the face of this earth. And there simply is no more to do. Where do you go? You have nobody to turn to. Oh, you have your friends. But after a while, they wipe a tear away and shrug their shoulders and they go home. Not that they wouldn't do something else. They do anything that they could for you. But they too are helpless. There are those times in life when we can say, we don't understand, but our God has said that the day will come that you will receive justice, and then it will make sense to you. You see, it's a pretty important text. A pretty important text for all of us, believers or unbelievers. As a believer in Christ Jesus, it can cause you to say, all is well. I have asked my Lord to give this to me, and then I have said, there is no other way. But your will be done, God. If I'm an unbeliever, I stand alone. I breathe that last breath alone. Yeah, it was a parable that was spoken to his disciples. And so my concern, and that's why I mention it to you today, is if you are not one of his disciples, wouldn't you like to have that relationship with God? Wouldn't you seriously like to learn more about him in the scriptures and let the Holy Spirit turn that knowledge into faith? That by grace, through trusting him, you are one of his children. You are one who he will never leave nor forsake. In the closing verses of this text, Jesus said, you know, at the end, I wonder if I will find faith on this earth when I return. I often wondered what he meant there. I can understand a little bit now why he would say that. When we see so much unbelief all around us, and so people rather unconcerned about the spiritual, and some even say that Christianity is going out of date and it won't be here if you give it another generation or so. Is that what Jesus was talking about? Well, I don't know. But I like to believe that those who once believed, because they got disappointed with God and chose to get angry and discard him in unbelief, maybe those that he had counted on, and he longs for them, he misses them. Are you one of those who have thrown him away? Are you one of those who feel that you don't need him? Are you one of those who has become so irrational that you just simply discard this as irrational for an educated group? God grant that this parable might help you, together with us who believe. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is that you have given to us this whole matter of prayer, that you are not far from us, and that we are able to come to you. Sometimes, O God, we go every other place, trying to find the answer for life. And finally, the situation causes us to come to our knees, to pour out our hearts, and to say we have tried everything, God. Will you hear us? And we come, and we come, and you never get tired of listening to us. You never turn us away for our persistency. But you sorrow when you turn your back on us and cause us to think that you have not heard. So, Lord, we do this day put all of our concerns in your care. We know that where we are not adequate, where there are personal things that disturb us, you will listen. And we also know that you have taught us to pray, as you prayed yourself. Not my will, but yours be done. And that's the way that we end this prayer today. Not our will, but yours be done. For such a wonderful Savior, we thank you and pray that you will be with us to the very end. Be with those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and the dying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will provide you with a solid spiritual foundation for the week ahead. On September 6, Christian Crusaders celebrated 74 years as a radio ministry. In a recent letter to listeners, Reverend Larson said, and we quote, "During the past 48 years, Pastor Steve Kramer and I have had and will continue to have one purpose, to present Christ as the center of our Christian hope. God's word does not change. It speaks to all the changes that confront us. Christ is our security." End quote. We thank all our listeners who have helped us continue our faithful mission with their gifts and prayers. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Please visit our website to learn more about our ministry at christiancrusaders.org. You will find hundreds of archived sermons to read and listen online, as well as a daily devotion, Bible study tools, and more. You can also use our website to read a weekly preview of the upcoming program. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 74th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.